get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PBOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing, leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh yeah!
Welcome to Prevenge of the Nerds. This is a podcast about the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. I'm Bradley Butin, and this is my esteemed co-host,
Brian S. Dennis, where the S stands for May.
May. All right. Well, before we get too deep into anything, I do want to go over a little bit of house cleaning here. So please, just a little bit of the state of the pod. Please don't forget to share the podcast with everyone you know so you can level up their awesomeness as well as yours. Because I know talk good. Also,
good thing this isn't a show that's based on our ability to communicate.
I know, right? with people that's besides ourselves.
Right. Yeah, there's no audience in this thing at all.
Right. Yeah. I'm going for the laughs. We want you to laugh.
Right.
So the Fandemic will be back next week. Sorry, it's been a little bit hectic over the holiday season between sicknesses and audio issues, but it's figured out. It will be back. But we're going to do a double episode with Josh. We're going to bust out 6 issues of War of the Bounty Hunters, and it's going to be awesome. Also, just a little while ago, I put out in the world of Facebook a post. So definitely go to Facebook, look me up at Bradley Butin, or you can look it up at the Fandemic as well. Check out what it is, and you can give us your thoughts. And at the end of the podcast, we'll go ahead and go over that entire thread. So welcome to the show. Brian and I will be your guides on this guest. Oh, yeah. We will be your guides on this quest to level up your awesomeness. We will nerd out. We will get sidetracked. And we will have a great time doing it. But first, Brian, I have to ask.
Yes.
One of the greatest of questions of all time. What is the greatest Little Debbie snack?
Wow. This may endanger our friendship, sir. I am not a fan of the Little Debbies.
What?
I am not a fan of the Little Debbies, you know.
Wow.
Whether it's Little Debbie or Hostess, I'm not a huge fan. I guess so. You even got to give me a little help here. So Hostess versus Little, which of the Twinkies? Is that a Hostess or is that a Little Debbie?
I think that's a Hostess. Right?
Okay. Yeah. So here's what I'm gonna do, because I want to give an answer. So I'm gonna go to our lovely friend the Google Making Device and look up Hostess treats. So I want to get an idea of what they are, and I'm going to hopefully find one that I actually enjoy, because, as again, I'm not a super huge fan. You know what? Why have, you know, sugar when you can just layer everything with fried cheese? Because I'm from the South. Okay.
That's true. You know who else is not a big fan of Little Debbie's?
Big Debbie?
Leia. I think Big Debbie had a little bit too many Little Debbies, and that's why she is.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, yeah, like, okay.
Yep. I can't get
so Leia. Really, Leia's not a huge fan either.
No, she doesn't like frosting. So like cupcakes and everything.
I'm with her. I'm not a fan of frosting.
Oh man,
I will probably find something at some point, but as a general rule, no, not a big fan. Okay, so. Little Debbie's. Oh, are we being invaded? Is our first cameo of the week?
She's got her Joker laugh going on. Oh, you didn't.
What?
Oh my gosh. Oh, hi, Leia. How are you?
so then I came down there. And then I saw the salsa tape. And then she was telling me, what is this? That's picture of Daddy when he was about 9 years
okay. old. Hey, Leia, back that up. Cause that's too close. We can't see what the picture is. Back it up.
It's Daddy.
Is that really you?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
It was Daddy when he was a little boy.
That was a little Fred Savage-ish. You know, I mean, that was... You know what that was? Have you ever seen the movie 21 Jump Street?
Oh, yeah.
With Jonah Hill? Okay. It's kind of like that moment when Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum go to his house and they're undercover, and they show that picture of Jonah Hill as a kid, and he's, like, shirtless, and it's just this really weird, overly, like, he looks like Fred Savage taking a glamour pic. That's kind of how you were rolling right there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that is... That was, I mean, that you could have been like a Sears catalog. I mean, you could have been a youth model back then. Not that you're not an incredibly handsome grown man.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
I mean, I probably would, maybe, yeah, yeah. All right. Thank you, baby girl.
You can
take that upstairs now.
You missed your calling, dude.
Well, just say bye to Brian.
Bye.
Bye, Leia.
See you Friday.
See you Friday.
All right.
Okay, girl.
Bye.
Love you.
I love you too.
I'm about to get hearing aids like Hawkeye.
Daddy, don't be such a nerd.
Don't be such a nerd. I have two podcasts all about being a nerd.
But if you're gonna do Hawkeye, you gotta do the full on sleeve, man.
Oh yeah, man. I'm working on it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's another one. I think we gotta rank order our Marvel when we get to our subject of the week. I think we're gonna have to think at some point. Not at the with phase four and their series catalog getting more and more robust. I think we're gonna start rank ordering maybe some of them are. Here's my only concern as a fan that's really loved the MCU, and I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast before. Yeah. The Avengers was always, again, OG Avengers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Back when, for those of you that's just in the movies, there was once upon a time two Avengers teams. There was a West Coast and an East Coast. What they called them, the Ecos and the Wackos, okay?
Yeah.
You know, before Biggie and Tupac, the Avengers had the original East Coast, West Coast.
Right.
They really did. One was led by Cap, one was led by Iron Man. That being said, the Avengers have a really big, and there's lots of fairly high level Avengers that haven't been fully introduced yet.
Yeah.
We're getting probably going to call her Photon, but the Monica Rambeau, who also known as Captain Marvel, which is why I'm saying they're going to use her other name, Photon. Wonder Man, there's several that have not been introduced yet. I really hope that the MCU does not get overly bloated with things. Mm-hmm. Because then it loses some of its specialness. I mean, WandaVision, the more I've watched WandaVision, the more I've liked it. Loki is probably my favorite.
Mine. Hawkeye now.
Yeah. Captain, what ended up being Captain America and the Winter Soldier was fantastic. It should have been longer. 6 episodes I thought was far too short. I know it was also the one that was really hit by the pandemic. And it had a lot of international shoots. So all those things come into play. I just really hope that it maintains, I hope it just holds up. I just really hope we don't look back and kind of like, I hope it doesn't become like the NCI or CSI of sci-fi. Like, oh yeah, another
Marvel guy. What are they doing now?
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, mm-hmm. a whole show about Lockheed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Have you watched the new episode of Hawkeye?
I got about halfway through it this morning and I had to head to work, but yes.
Dude, I love, man, like Hawkeye is fastly becoming my favorite Marvel show so far.
Okay. I have quite a few friends that love it strictly for Jeremy Renner, I think is probably the most underappreciated member of that core Avengers team. Honestly, of acting chops, just as a pure actor, he's probably up there with Downey, truthfully.
Oh yeah,
you know he's an extremely, not that Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth and Mark Ruffalo and Scarlett Johansson, Elizabeth Olsen. By the way, Elizabeth Olsen, just I had this, you know, here's my first tangent of the day, ladies and gentlemen. You notice that of all the Avengers, Elizabeth Olsen's outfits are just some amalgamation of thigh-high stockings and corsets. No matter what the situation is, from when she is in Sokovia being experimented on to when she is in Europe with the Vision on a date to WandaVision, there's always seems to be some type of either waist cinching outfit or, you know, thigh high stocking. That is not a complaint. That's an assessment. But I mean, just, you know, yeah. So, and they got to figure out how to get like the, her sisters into the MCU, like make them. That would be a great
variants.
That or Fenris or something. They got to come up with a something. So anyway, all right.
Sweet.
So that was my first stand up. We really hope to avoid the Marvel bloat, which sounds like something that you can get the week after Thanksgiving. How's that for a segue, sir?
I liked it. Awesome. Awesome.
All righty.
All right. So this is how the show is going to go. First, we're going to cover our topic of the week. We will discuss, theorize, and give a penny for our thoughts and our 2 cents worth. Then we'll each have our own topic to cover with each other. These will be referred to as our TAS. And Brian, why don't you go ahead and introduce tonight's topic?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. So what we've decided to do, we do as part of this podcast, we like to have a theme of the month. So, you know, in Halloween, and I totally talked a lot of things that were scary and Halloween based. Again, the scariest movie I've ever seen was Showgirls, along with Elf. Thanksgiving, we try to play Thanks to every week during our recordings. And now that is 2021, before the calendar switches over to 2022, we are going to pay homage to the best ofs. So this week, we're going to discuss the best of television, and that's a really robust area. So I'm really interested to see what our list looks like. I think of anything, this would be the list that we should probably have the most difference on, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I know I was going through it, and then even just now I'm thinking about other stuff, like crap, I should have added that on there as well.
Sure.
So I got a couple on here. I got a couple honorable mentions, and then we'll go over my top five, and then we'll go and switch over to you.
So absolutely.
A couple of my honorable mentions. One, Wheel of Time, a show that just came out. I'm super digging it. Also, I grouped all these together, all the Marvel shows, the WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier, Loki, and Hawkeye. Also, another couple that I bundled together was The Mandalorian and Bad Batch. Did not make it into my top five.
I thought for sure Mandalorian would. I mean, I personally I like season one a little better than season two, but I really would have bet money Mandalorian made your list. So,
you know, like I, when I was going over my top five, I'm like, with my top five, I could not get Mandalorian in there. Crazy enough. Yeah. So, also Cobra Kai was another one that I you know, honorable mention, love the show. A new season comes out on the 31st.
Yep.
So I'll probably be ready for that. And Yellowstone. Those are my honorable mentions. Have you watched Yellowstone at all?
I love Yellowstone.
Dude, it is, man, like that girl, the girl that plays Beth, I can't think of her name right
Kelly
now.
Kelly Riley. Wait. We will give a moment of appreciation for Kelly Riley.
Yes.
I've been a fan since Sherlock Holmes. And how sweet and demure she was, and just the utter badass she is on Yellowstone. She is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, like, that cast is just stellar. But I mean, Kevin Costner is great in it. But man, Beth.
But Kevin Costner was Kevin Costner, though. I mean,
right.
And kind of like the first season, it was Kevin Costner's show, and everybody else was. I mean, it was a good season.
Yeah.
But it was the Kevin Costner show. It is definitely morphed into truly being the ensemble and the various. I'm really excited for 1883. I mean, just the Rip.
Rip and Beth are the best characters in the show.
Yes,
by far.
So yeah, and I think you'll appreciate this. Rip is a good example of the power of a beard.
Amen.
Because no one was checking for Cole Hauser. Okay, people are like, where's Rutger? Okay,
Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, if any of you that are hearing this podcast really only know Cole Hauser as Rip on Yellowstone, just Google him.
Yeah, IMDb.
And put in the term Cole Hauser no beard. And there's a variety of shots and memes. And yeah. He's a good looking guy, period.
Right.
But just show him with the beard and without the beard. And again, I've heard from many a friend, both male and female, that have stated, yeah, the beard makes a difference. No one's want to see that dude in a hot tub. I mean, in a tub on the plains when he did it without the beard. It is totally the beard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That scene where he throws the snake in the cooler, man, that is so awesome. And we can do a whole episode on Yellowstone because it's that great, and with the two spinoffs coming out soon. So
yes,
number five is a show that came out this year. I was finally able to watch it and ended up binging all like 13 episodes in like 2 days.
Yeah,
the main star is Alan Tudyk, and he plays an alien stuck on Earth, just trying to annihilate the planet and get home. He takes on the role of the town doctor and resident alien. It is, I wish I would have watched it earlier because I like the show is so amazing. I love that show. I like those weird shows that you're going to giggle. And that one was right there. Have you watched Resident Alien at all?
I love Resident Alien, and it is Alan Tudyk in all of his Alan Tudyk-ness.
Yes.
I mean, and the thing that I love about Alan Tudyk is there's a couple actors that give off, there's two that have such very similar energy, and I wish they got a chance to do more stuff together, which is he and Nathan Fillion.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, their energy, they just always bring about, even whether they're trying to be good guys, bad guys, drug addicts, whatever it is, they always have this, they always have this pirate-ish aspect or this roguish, you know, kind of thing, you know, not the whole Johnny Depp, I'm cute, but I have scurvy type deal.
Right, but the dodgeball pirate challenge.
Yes,
right,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, if you've ever seen him in 28 Days, he steals the movie. If you've ever seen, for Nathan Fillion, if you've ever seen Firefly, Castle, but definitely his role on Santa Clarita Diet, where have you seen Santa Clarita Diet?
I have not.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Where, ladies and gentlemen, this guy steals a show playing a zombie head. That's all he is. He's a head.
Yeah.
That's a spoiler. I don't care. Watch the show. Drew Barrymore was fantastic.
Yeah. Good show.
And Timothy Oliphant, I just want his hair. One
season was him, and then the other one was Josh Duhamel.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So, I mean, it is really... So Alan Tudyk and Resident Alien are fantastic. Absolutely.
Yeah, my buddy Ben was like, dude, you have got to watch Resident Alien. I'm like, man, I got like five shows in front of it. But then I find like, oh, I found it on a Peacock network.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. And once I got through that first episode, I was hooked. So
definitely.
Number five, Resident Alien. So number four is a show that I stayed away from because it said it was a sports show. I'm like, I don't really get into a lot of sports shows. Ends up being one of the greatest shows I've ever watched in my life. This show stars a Jason Sudeikis, and he plays the one and
I
the
knew
only.
It. I knew it was going to make your list. I knew it. I like if you see. In it is gonna please continue, but I knew this was gonna make your list.
Ted Lasso.
Yes,
man. There's two shows that I found in my life that makes me giggle and just literally makes me feel good.
Right.
And that's Psych and Ted Lasso.
Yeah. By the way, when we get on the podcast, I'm watching the Gus movie. I have not watched it yet. So the Gus movie is after the cast. So yes.
Awesome.
Sir.
Awesome. Man, I can't say enough good things about Ted Lasso. You can't be mad while you're watching Ted Lasso.
Right. Which is hard, which is hard to say in today's world. We're all a little jaded.
Right.
For a movie that it's literally puts you in a good mood. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I started rewatching it with Kendall when she was here this last weekend before she went back to Seattle. And she was laughing because not at the show, but she was laughing because I was laughing through the entire thing.
Right.
Every little thing. I just start giggling. She's like, "Dad, this isn't funny." And I'm like, and I'm just laughing. Yeah. Oh, love that show. All right. Number three is a lot like Ted Lasso. It gives you that feeling, just that good old fashioned comedy 30 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
This show has a little bit of a Office feel. And you throw in some Office with a little bit of World of Warcraft. Hmm. And what are you going to get? Mythic Quest.
I don't know this one.
It's on Apple.
Okay.
And there's three seasons of it. And it is hilarious. It's about this guy, this video game mogul. And they're keeping their World of Warcraft type game going. And it is hilarious. So funny. You have to watch it.
All right.
Put this on pretty much on the top of your list.
Gotcha. Just
give it a couple of episodes and you will be, oh boy. Hi.
Have you ever seen the show Victorious?
Have you ever?
I have.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Cat? Redhead?
I'm not sure.
Ariana Grande.
I probably have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't
do this. All right, baby girl.
Make me laugh.
All right. All right, baby girl. I love you.
I love you too.
All right, I'll go upstairs.
I'll see you later. Bye.
That's loud. All right, baby girl. She's gonna kick my butt 30. So Leigh and I have started this game. It's called the butt kick game.
Okay.
And we just kick each other's butt.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right, baby girl, go upstairs.
Hi, baby girl.
So, yeah, Mythic Quest, number three. They have, the show has a lot of faces you'll recognize, and but they're not, like, super huge names.
Love Fashion's brought the cat.
Yep. Hi, Xana. Whatever. Okay. Now, my number two show came out this last year. And we have another cat. Okay.
And she was Mocha.
Yep. And now this show is makes you feel like you can do anything, almost like you are invincible. An animated show from Robert Kirkman based on the comic book and J.K. Simmons.
Yes, sir.
J.K. Simmons is one of the voices and likeness. And it is, man, that I've watched the entire show like three times.
Mm-hmm.
So good. I'm glad that it's animated because I don't think I'd want this live action.
Right. It will be too much live action. Absolutely.
Right. I think they could do a better job with it the way it is. And I hope it goes on for several seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you haven't watched it, check it out. It's amazing. Definitely not kid friendly.
Right. It is very animated and very not. It is okay. If you want kids to watch shows about superheroes, send them over to either Disney Plus or HBO Go. There's enough things that are kid appropriate. I'll be careful. I even had a young teenager with some of the stuff that happens. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so my number one show of 2021, it was redeeming a character that I kind of fell out of with, but it's a CW show, Superman and Lois. So Tyler Hoechlin plays Superman, I can't think of her name all of a sudden. From the girl from Grimm, she plays Lois Lane.
Yes, Bitsy. There we go.
Yeah. And she is a fantastic Lois Lane. I loved that they were able to add something to the Superman mythos and it feel natural. The way that they introduced like Steel and I hopefully they keep Steel going into season two, was so amazing. Superman is one of those characters. It's really hard to do something with him because how do you hurt him? Well, the only way you can really hurt Superman is emotionally. I guess he's pretty much a god. I've never been the
biggest. You've heard that's been one of my criticisms of it.
And I've never been a huge Superman fan, but the CW definitely did Superman and Lois the right way. I just hope that it lasts longer than two seasons before they really before they start screwing it up, because you know Arrow, they got it right for two seasons and then they had it okay for a couple seasons and then they had it like, well, okay, all right, I'm watching this because I'm a fan. Okay.
Right.
You know, Flash is a hit or miss. I don't know.
I thought I was the only one that felt that way about Flash. Just Flash is hit or miss. I actually like the 90s. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a very short-lived 90s show, The Flash.
Yeah.
I thought it was very well done. This to me was not as well done.
My favorite CW show besides Superman and Lois, although I guess there's a couple of them. I guess Stargirl's really good, but I don't really consider that in that CW verse. But Legends of Tomorrow. Legends of Tomorrow is exactly what it should be, and it knows exactly what it is. And there is something so amazing about that. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
It has Firestorm, which is one of my favorites growing up. Love Firestorm. Absolutely.
Yep. There's my top five.
I love that. And before I get into my list, I have to say, you know how I said I figured that our list would have no overlap because of all the stuff that's out there?
Yeah.
Not only did we have, when I mean overlap, Brad, I mean same show, same position.
Oh, nice.
Not only did we have one, we had two.
Very awesome. Very awesome.
We had two. Okay. So, all right. So I'll just hop into my list and I'll give you my honorable mention. So my honorable mentions is actually the final season of Lucifer. For those of you that have not watched Lucifer, it was a very good show that was on Fox for three seasons and then had a couple seasons on Netflix. The move from Fox to Netflix allowed them to take some more liberties when it came to language, violence, but also special effects. Because if you're not familiar with what the premise of Lucifer is, it is very loosely based on the deal on the Neil Gaiman Sandman comics, where he looks at Lucifer. That one of the early season jokes when people meet him is goes, "Hey, I thought you'd be blonde," because Lucifer in the Gaiman comics is blonde. It is very well done. I will say the earlier seasons might actually be better than the later seasons, because the earlier season it was all about teasing.
Yeah.
That the central character is Lucifer Morningstar. For those who don't know who that is, it's the devil. So there's a lot of teasing because very few members of the cast actually knew that he legitimately was. And the thing is, the devil in this incarnation, the devil doesn't lie. And so when we get to the last couple seasons, the vast majority, if not the entire central cast, knows he is legitimately Satan. So that takes some of the fun away from, but it's still, when a show ends, you want it to end well. And I thought that's what it did. That's absolutely it. Not my favorite season, but very rarely do you get nerdy shows that end way they should. And it really did do that.
Right. And Lucifer is the ultimate redemption story.
Yes.
I mean, like, you take the person that's been vilified throughout time and come to realize that, hey, maybe he's not the bad guy.
Yes,
can do good things, man. I mean, like, yeah, Lucifer was amazing,
and brought a lot of complexity to the idea of angels and demons. One of my favorite movies is actually Legion with Paul Bettany, and again, takes a very similar. The first prophecy with Christopher Walken.
Oh my gosh, Elias Cotes.
And I would never forget Elias's line. Yes, I would never forget Elias's line though when he goes, if you had the opportunity, would you ever really want to meet an angel? And it goes, that's a good point. You know, yeah. When you're at the right side of God, you have one wing tipped in blood. And he just goes, would you ever, if you had the opportunity, would you ever really want to meet an angel? And it goes, huh. So, yeah. So Lucifer hit a lot of those buttons for me. And again, very, very excellent show.
Prophecy. So yeah. Just to sidetrack a little bit. Sure. Prophecy, man. I would really dig a reboot of Prophecy. I think they did make a couple of sequels, but I think the right show, you could make a really good Prophecy series.
You could.
It would be really good because it's such a good concept.
Good concept, great imagery, disturbing imagery at some point. Like anything, yes, but the only thing is who follows Walken? You know what I'm saying? And we're talking, this is Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken's greatest. And the only thing would have made this better was Christopher Walken as a fallen angel asked for more cowbell. That's the only thing that would have made it better. That's the only Saturday Night Live skit that has ever made me laugh out loud. Like everything else, I'm like, it's okay. Okay. Basically, Saturday Night Live passed like the mid-80s. Okay, it's all right. You know, Chris Farley had a couple things here and there. David Spade always struck me as a bit of a jerk. I'm like, he's a jerk.
Well, he was only good with Chris Farley.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Versus, you know, more cowbell, which is fantastic. All right. So, but you're right. And I would, again, Netflix, if you're listening, or Amazon or anyone, you know, give us a Prophecy series. All right, next, or you know what? Pick up where Legion left off. Legion had a lot to be done at the end of that movie. Yeah. That would have been a great series as well. Okay, so next up is, and this one maybe if folks have seen this show, unfortunately only got one season. I thought it was actually a really good show. It had a lot of potential, which is Jupiter's Legacy, which focused on a group of a family of superheroes and more importantly, their offspring, who Josh are struggling Dumont. With it. I'm sorry?
Josh Dumont.
Josh Dumont, absolutely. And so the show, and again, I don't want to get too many spoilers, follows not only their present day exploits as superheroes, but also their origin stories of developing powers. And the end of the first season, which is a great cliffhanger of, you see in the past how they emerged with their superpowers as these advanced beings. And that unfortunately was the end of the series because it was canceled. Mm-hmm. I just really liked how the story developed. I think Josh's portrayal especially was really good. I thought there'd have been a lot of room for exploration there. Again, it's one of those that because it was cut too short, too soon, it was a lot of honorable mention. Last two that I have for you, one of which is The Nevers, HBO show.
Josh Whedon.
Yes, he shall not be named. Sir Joshua of Whedon. A very powerful, impactful, Victorian, futuristic, time travel, superhuman show that looks at poverty and the rights of women. Mm-hmm. Made by a guy who wasn't very nice to women. So unless you are Allison Hannigan or Sarah Michelle Gellar, those two. But you know who doesn't mind? Who everybody loves a fiery redhead, and you know Sarah Michelle Gellar. You know it does that thing. All right, but Chrisma Carpenter is my favorite on the show, so be nice to Chrisma. Very good show. Actually, the first season was 6 episodes. The show was cut short a little bit because of the pandemic, also because Josh Whedon went Josh Whedon. Mm-hmm. So he was removed from the show. So they are saying that they will complete the second half of season one. Not sure when that's coming out, but check it out on HBO. And then lastly is Lock and Key, season 2.
Yes.
This was in my top 5 until about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Lock and Key. I dig it so much. I mean, this made my top 5 before I even finished with the first season, like on episode 2 it had.
Right.
So I was like, this is fantastic. So again, all these shows are streaming, which unfortunately is where a lot of the best, the reason I say unfortunately, because you know, you have to pay to see the best shows, but I think these are, especially when you look at Nerdverse shows, these are my honorable mentions. So now I'm going to go to my top 5. So here's what I did with my top 5. I purposely did not include anything that is on Disney Plus. I purposely did not include anything from a Marvel Universe, Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think we talk about that a lot. Yeah. And I just go, you know, I'm just going to leave them off my list. I know you put it on yours and lumped them together in your honorable mentions. Yep. Man, let's go. I'm not even going to look at it. So here is my top five. So my top five starts off with our number five, which is the same.
Nice.
Resident Alien.
That is
absolutely
awesome.
Love Resident Alien. Oh. It took all I had not to. I wanted to jump. I go, I got to talk about it when it's my turn. But first off, so I had this that opposite experience you had. When I started seeing the trailers for it, I go, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And so it's Alan Tudyk playing an alien. I go, this is going to be awesome. So I watched the first episode and I got a little nervous because sometimes you have really, okay. I remember the expectations I had with Star Wars Episode One and walking out of that movie theater. So.
Oh man, you know it's gonna be a good story. We're like, hey, I got the feeling of Episode One.
Yeah, I remember the feeling I had when I went to see it, saw Avatar: The Last Airbender, and walking out of theater. I remember the feeling I had being really excited for the original portrayal of the Mandarin in Iron Man 3, and walking out of the theater.
Give that credit. They did. It was supposed to be Ben Kingsley. I mean, you know.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'm like. Okay, so I had really high expectations of Resident Alien, and it surpassed all of them. I mean, again, Alan Tudyk is doing his Alan Tudykness. He's just odd. And I mean, he's okay. And Brad said, plays an alien whose goal is to destroy the planet. And he is so sympathetic as someone who's here to destroy us. Yep. That shows you how awesome a job he does. He plays a complete, you know, fish out of water or alien out of planet. Again, I hope this is not a spoiler, but one of the things, because he is an alien, he does not look human until he chooses to do so. He's able to imitate human form. He also points out that the glamour, even though it's not magic, the process he does to conceal what he truly looks like, I think he said only like 1% of human beings does it not work on. Mm-hmm. And ladies and gentlemen, he lives in a town of about 2,000 people that has a little boy who can ask. So he points out, number one, how astronomically horrible the odds are.
Yeah.
That happens. And to say this little boy enjoys messing with an alien is just, I mean, it would be like if Leia found an alien. Like, she's right. Poking a bear. Like, I'm not impressed. Whatever. Right. So I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. So that's my number five.
Yeah.
So it's all the first season is actually, so again, when it's actually on weekly, that it'll be on Sci-Fi. But like you said, you can get it on Peacock, and it's just fantastic. It's fantastic. My number four, I gotta find my list again. Okay. So my number four is actually one of the few non-nerdy sci-fi ones. And it is actually, and it's also the only show on my list that is not streaming. Well, it streams, but that is on regular television, which is the retelling of The Wonder Years.
Very cool.
It is a excellent, excellent show. So those of you that are old enough to remember the show from the 80s with Fred Savage, this is a retell, I wouldn't call it a retelling. It is looking at the U.S. and childhood and growing up in the same time frame, but in the eyes of an African-American family. We mentioned before Psych, so Dule Hill, who plays Gus and Psych, plays the father of the family. Don Cheadle is the voiceover of the adult kid who's the center of the show. And it's a really, honestly, truthfully progressive show. It looks at, again, the first episode, and again, this is an intended spoiler because I think this should make you want to watch the show. The first show actually winds up being the day that Martin Luther King is assassinated. Mm-hmm. And that is so you don't know at the beginning of the show, that is how the show ends. And it just shows how, for so many people, the idealism of the 60s changed with one incident, and then how his family grew and morphed. And, you know, dad is a musician. I like it. I like any show that shows there's a positive African-American father. I had one. I like to show that, hey, they're out there. I'd work hard to be one myself. It's just a fantastic show. So you know, normally we live in a world, we talk about aliens and witches and, you know, magical stones and snapping fingers. Mm-hmm. And when people get angry, they change colors and get really muscular. By the way, I'm sorry, if I was Bruce Banner, here's a tangent, folks. If I was Bruce Banner, you're telling me every time I lost my temper, I got big, tall, strong, and, you know, was ripped. Again, I understand what he says. I'm always angry. Right? Like, what's the win in being Banner here? Like, I don't get it, you know?
So there's a new Hulk comic out called Smashed or Not.
Okay.
Okay, like this.
Not feeling the title, but I hope the content's
good. So in this, Bruce Banner is the bad guy.
Really? Are they still Banner Hulk?
It's really dumb, man. I made it through one issue. Mm-hmm. It's really stupid. Something that's like a metaphor of the Hulk is a ship going into outer space. It's really dumb.
But, really? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to go there and give
you. Is it worse than Nick Nolte sitting in the middle of a desert making fun of his abused son going, that was Nolte in Hulk was both the best and worst part of that movie. He overacted so much that it took Eric Banner tried. The reimagining of Hulk and all those sorts of things. I mean, I will say Jennifer Connelly as Betsy Ross was Betty Ross, not Betsy Ross. I was like, salute the flag. Okay.
Right.
But Betty Ross, I actually preferred her portrayal to Liv Tyler's. Okay. But, you know, it is what it is. Which I hope at some point we get a Betty Ross. General Ross. We got to give us a little Betty Ross.
Maybe in the She-Hulk show. Maybe introduce her in the Shield.
Maybe show. Now again, they. I mean, but again, if you had a choice between Betty Ross and Black Widow, I mean,
although where's Black Widow now?
Okay. I'm gonna ask this quickly. If you had a choice between Liv Tyler and Scarlett Johansson, who's dead and on the alien planet, it's still a coin flip, man.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
The best part of dating Liv Tyler would be Steven Tyler would come to your house. Like, come on, Steve.
Right?
Dude, can I have a bandana? things that have been washed since like 73. Yeah, it'd be great. All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Wonder Years. All right. So my number three.
Oh, real quick about Wonder Years.
Yes.
I got about 3/4 the way through the first episode.
Sure.
And then my wife came in and was like, oh, I want to watch that. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're going to have to, I can't watch this anymore. And now it's in our queue. but that was like,
fantastic.
That was right after you told me that I needed to watch it. It was a few weeks ago.
It's extremely well done. Extremely well done.
Yep. I will watch anything that Dulé Hill is in, just like James Roday. Rodriguez,
and I think it's because Dulé Hill plays a musician. There's similar to Lucifer. Because he's a musician. Yeah. So in Lucifer plays the piano. In one of years, Dulé Hill plays the bass and is part of he basically was a musician. Now he works in town and he still plays like on the weekends. There's a couple times and I wish I could think of the song right now because it trended on YouTube really high for a while. But I believe it's actually him singing. Oh, it's the theme song from the original Wonder Years, the Joe Cocker song. So Dulé Hill, and I believe it's Dulé Hill actually singing. I could be wrong. They do a blues version of it. It is fantastic.
Very cool.
For a couple minutes online, I think it was on Reddit, there was like a poll going, can they do a full version of it? Instead of like the 2-minute snippet that they did for the episode. Like, and I mean, so again, just very little cool things like that make it very cool. All right. So I believe we're at my number three.
Yes.
So I got to give a shout out to a coworker of mine who really suggested I watch this show. So, and I never thought anything could make me like Jeremy Renner more than his portrayal as Hawkeye. I will say this is actually a better Jeremy Renner show than Hawkeye, which is The Mayor of Kingstown. If you are a fan of The Sopranos, of Oz, of the Shield, of the good guy who will do bad things for the right reasons, and also House, where I'm just I'm extremely broken, but I'm also the smartest person in the room. Mm-hmm. So I'm drug in the thing is the Mayor of Kingstown, streaming on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Fantastic show. I watched it begrudgingly because I didn't want to see my Hawkeyes anything other than Hawkeye, and it had me in the first 2-3 minutes. I was sold, from the same writer as Yellowstone. Yep. So if you like Yellowstone, you're gonna love Mayor of Kingstown. My only criticism of Mayor of Kingstown is because it streams weekly, I have to wait until Sunday night for it to come out. So beyond that, so I binged the first three, because I didn't know it was only a weekly show. I thought, oh, it's supposed to be an entire season. I binged the first few episodes in, like, I don't know, 45 minutes times three. Yeah. And then I, like, there's no more. And then I looked and it goes, yeah, new episodes every Sunday. And it's not even like Sunday at 4 a.m. like Disney Plus does. It's like middle of the day Sunday. So I'm like, wait, I had to do this, Brad, as we both are old enough to remember this was what you had to do with all television. I had to wait. How dare you,
right?
Not give me every episode of an entire, and by the way, we are so privileged and spoiled as fans. Not only do we want everything to binge, everything available so we can binge it, we will binge, and I binge more than my fair shows in a weekend or even just a long day. Like, I have the day off. Like, you know what? If it's 10 episodes, if I start at 8 o'clock, we're good before bedtime. 8 a.m. good before bedtime. And then get mad is a year before the next season. Because, okay, think about it. I've never done work in teleproduction, but I do know these things. You got to write it. You got to shoot it. You got to edit it. And, okay, you do a hell of a job of flipping around our podcast to push them out fairly quickly. But you're doing, like, you know, multi-set, multi-camera, multi-location, million-dollar shows, and we're like, okay, so season one, you put it out on a Friday. I binged it before Sunday. Now on season two, and how dare you? But again, Mayor of Kingstown is fantastic. It takes the term mayor very loosely.
Yeah.
But it is just... it's just fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and you're right, Jeremy Renner. I'm gonna guess he's gonna get an Emmy for.
Yes, he should. He should.
Is so amazing in that show.
Diane Weiss is. I mean, it's got a really strong cast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got
the Kyle Chandler guy. Like,
yes.
No spoilers, but yeah. Enough said there.
Yeah, and you know what? It has that. So it's got its fair share of violence.
Yeah.
And so, again, if you take it juxtaposed against, like, Hawkeye. So because this is real violence, it's not cartoon or movie magic violence, in that if someone gets shot, they get shot. And everything that comes along with that, right? So the violence is not as prolific as it is in, like, a sci-fi movie. And this isn't a criticism of sci-fi, but it's just not as much as you'll see. Even an episode of, like, Star Trek from the 80s, right? Versus the impactful nature of it, the finality of it. And you can take that when I say violence and it's something there, that being final.
Yeah.
It is just, and by the way, he should win an Emmy for no other reason than the beginning of episode two. Just that probably 10 to 15 minutes. He absolutely should have won. You know, I remember when I was watching A Few Good Men, and even though Nicholson didn't win the Oscar, when he has that back and forth with Tom Cruise at the end, we know that famous line, you know, you can't handle the truth. You knew you were watching something that shows acting as an art form.
Mm-hmm.
That this is it's not reciting lines off of a page. Like, this takes a level of commitment and skill and artistic expression that most of us don't have.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of when people go, well, if you're playing the NBA or playing the NFL, well, you're just playing a game. Yeah, but can you play the game that well?
Yeah,
we can all read off of a sheet of paper and pretend to be someone. And at that moment, again, the beginning of the second episode, Renner is not an actor, is pretending, but at that point, you go, this dude is acting. Like, this is And again, I was like, oh, and again, they had me episode one and episodes two. That's when I was like, why do I have to wait? Like, give me all of this, give me more. Like, I, at this point, I would be willing to sacrifice Hawkeye just for him to play the, just for him to play this character just nonstop. Like, I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure Marvel has gave him a really nice deal. you know, I'm sure Scarlett Johansson is going, you know, maybe I should have let you jump off the ledge.
Right. Yeah.
At Vormir. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Jump, man. Okay.
I can handle Haley Steinfeld better than him anyway. Right.
Yeah. Right. If she breaks out in song with Rebel Wilson, we got a problem. All right. Yes. And if you don't know that reference, you are seriously not listening to the right podcast. Okay. But we'll learn you. We'll nerd you up. Yeah. Okay.
Stick all with right. Them.
Yeah, so now we get to my number two, which is the second overlap that we have, which is Invincible.
Very cool.
It is everything. So I found Invincible just because I was just going through it. I thought, well, I wonder what I'm going to watch. And I turned on Prime, and Invincible was suggested. And let me set the scene for you for the one reason. Again, I talked about how the beginning of episode two is what won me over so much with Mayor of Kingstown. The ending of episode one is what won me over so much with Invincible. Oh, boy. So it was already a good show. I was going to watch it. I liked the show. But the ending of that first episode, and this is why we say the show is absolutely not for kids. It is most likely not even for teens. I have a son that's 24, and he watched that, and he was even like, whoa. Like, it is intense, okay? But it is fantastic. It is everything that it should be. It is, you know, it is violent. It is bloody. It is gruesome. But never, as over the top as the violence is, this is what would happen. You talked before that is anime instead of live action. But this is what would happen if you had a bunch of people that had, like, godlike powers.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a fight. This is what a fight between Superman and a Martian Manhunter would look like. This is what a fight between the Flash and Green Lantern would look like. So, and poor Batman. As much as I love you, dude, Bruce, don't come to the party. This is actually, and again, it's about a father and son. J.K. Simmons plays the dad. Who have superpowers, and imagine you get with your dad, and I would argue it's probably stronger than Superman, when he takes his son to the woodshed, boy, let me learn you a thing, again, just fantastic. So, watch Invincible, it is fantastic, again, cannot wait for season two.
Yep.
An honorable mention I almost gave as well, which I didn't write down, was Umbrella Academy, so if you've not been watching Umbrella Academy, definitely watch Umbrella Academy. And I love that they have, and this is going to sound, I think, wrong. I'm probably not going to say it correctly, but the show has definitely followed Elliot Page's journey as a person and integrated that so well into the show. That's why I'm really excited for season three. I'm really excited for season three. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google, first of all, open your eyes and Google Elliot Page, and I just think that's maybe set up for season three. All right.
Yeah. So the comic, Umbrella Academy, it's a great comic. Go out, get the graphic novels.
Yes, yes.
They do a great job of putting those to film.
Yes.
I mean, it's a very, very good adaptation.
Yes.
It took me a little while to get into Umbrella Academy in season one. Like episode one was good, but then it kind of lost me in a couple episodes.
Sure,
but then about halfway through it, I found it again. But yeah, Umbrella Academy, great show. Good.
I had a very similar thing. So when I got to season two, because season one ended, I thought really, really well. So when I get to season two, we're trying not to do spoilers here, but the first couple minutes of season two, I'm like, all right, okay, because I'm, as a general rule, I'm not a big fan of, okay, if you take out, like, Back to the Future, things like that, Quantum Leap, as a general, I'm not a big fan of time travel, and this is getting to a little bit of spoiler of season two. Like, I'll tell you, when I went and saw Endgame, and they bring up time travel, it took me a minute. Like, oh, God, time travel. Oh, that seems I'm sort of lazy writing. We'll go back in time and fix it. Yeah. As I will tell you, the first time I checked out of a movie is watching Superman. And this, I think, also played into why Superman is really low on my level, the pantheon of characters, is, okay, he flies backwards, so the world spun the opposite way, like a clock. And okay, here's the deal. If you pull out an analog watch and you turn the hands backwards, time didn't go backwards. You just manipulated the machine, right?
Right.
So part of me goes, so why was spinning the world the other way make it go backwards in time? With, as a kid, I was like, wouldn't it just like destroy the earth? Yeah, because I knew enough to go, we spin on the axis because of gravity. Anyway. Again, Umbrella Academy, last honorable mention. And now let's get to my number one, which my number one for mine is, it was in, I believe this was an honorable mention for you. It is number one for me, which is Cobra Kai.
Very awesome.
Just for no other reason. I think we talked about this before. Again, we're about the same age. I'm a little older than you. Karate Kid was just, and again, it's for our audience that are younger. It's hard to, we've had the wax on, wax off, and we've seen the crane kick and all this sort of stuff for 40 years, getting close to that, that you lose some of the magic, because time, right? Of no, when you saw that original movie, right? And you saw Pat Morita jumping down, and again, this old man being a bunch of teenagers with just having a day going to jail. Right. You had, you know, it was the first time of really bringing in a lot of those Asian cultures and not playing it for comedy. Mm-hmm. When he took this kid under his wing, and you know, and they gave us the beauty of Elizabeth Shue in a pencil skirt, and all those things that worked well for me as a child. And you know, it had the tournament and Billy Zabka as just the jerk of the eight. I mean, he was Malfoy and Joffrey rolled into one, man. I'm right? telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just such a prick. And you wanted him to lose so bad. And we were all right there when he does the crane. Obviously, in a real fight, this is the dumbest move ever. Why the sequel, it didn't work. Because it takes so long to set up, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, you had that, and it was so cool. And to see what Cobra Kai has done, which, again, you had these two actors, which, by the way, no one's paid me to act in anything bad, so I am not criticizing. But you had these two guys in Ralph Macchio and William, now goes by William Zabka, whose careers really probably peaked in the mid-80s, right? And it took what their characters would have been through and said they basically... You had this point where their lives intersected at the All Hill Valley karate tournament. And it then shows where they would have wound up as people. And, you know, and where they take Daniel and where they take kind of Johnny. And again, the honor they give Pat Morita, and they bring in so many of the other characters. And on some, and it's, and in the same episode, they're kind of tongue in cheek about, we know what this is, but then they also have so much freaking respect for it.
Right.
It's just awesome. And they've got all the different subplots. And when they brought in Kreese, and it was just like, yes, this is everything that I want this to be.
Right.
And more. I mean, it is typical 80s. It's montages for no reason. It is driving cars fast for no reason. It is just, and again, the last thing, I know I'm kind of going on this, but one reason I love it so much is the writers of the show, but also the actors, where you've got Ralph Macchio, this was his deal. Okay, yeah, he was an outsider and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Ralph Macchio is the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, the dude has not aged.
Paul Rudd.
I think he was pushing 30 actually when Karate Kid Part 2 came out. I mean, Macho was probably in his late 50s, I think we Googled it. But with that being said, about the Google making device, he takes so many steps back to let William Zabka lead this show and made this really the Zapka show, because it could very well be easily the Karate Kid show called Cobra Kai, and they didn't do that, and I think that makes it so much better. So yeah, what's Google tell us on Mr. Macchio?
So he was born in 1961, so he is 60.
Dude, I called it.
Yeah.
Okay, and listen, and ladies and gentlemen, so keep that in mind when you, whether you go back, because I think new episodes coming in January.
Nope, December 31st.
January, February. December 30th. Oh, you just said earlier. Yeah, December 31st. Yep. I know what I'm doing on New Year's Eve, by the way.
Right? I know, right?
I'm thinking about, I would like to say that there was a point in time where young Brian, if he had a chance between watching, binging a really cool show and going out drinking on New Year's Eve, oh, my younger years, I'm going out drinking. No.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Because guess what? You can drink while watching Cobra Kai, which I guarantee right? I will be doing. I got a thought. After we may have to start. We'll talk about this more offline. But I'm thinking one thing we may want to do is, because we both really love Cobra Kai.
Maybe we're doing a special episode.
Yes, oh, yeah. I was thinking about doing, or even I was almost thinking like, can we do like weekly reviews of things? But we'll work on that. But anyway, yeah. Cobra Kai is my number one for all those reasons. And they brought by Kimiko. So you have to watch and Cobra Chosen. Kai. Yes.
And Chosen. Where, yes. I mean, like, Chosen like was really an integral part of
yes!
the newest of season three.
Yes.
And it yeah, it, and they took it in such a great way.
Yes.
It's so good. So good.
It is so good. So I mean, when I was trying to rank order these, when I thought about what I think considered the best series of 21, because so much to do with my childhood and where they've taken it. And I think it's one of those things that talk about a show that has leveled up the awesome of already awesome source material. It is without a doubt Cobra Kai.
I concur, man. Good list. It's awesome that we actually had a couple.
Two out of five. Look at that. Yeah, that's 40% of our list. I can do math. And win
right. Hey, you better than me. All right. So let's go ahead and get to our task. I do believe you are first on the
tat. I do. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to do, I like to do my tat riddles. So I have one for you. Now here's what we can still keep the same rules, which okay. is I'll read it as many times as you want to.
Now, do I get my three questions from last week since I got?
So you want extra questions? No, because here's what I want to do actually. So yes. So number one, we can play the same rules, which are you get three guesses, three questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm curious. I think you're gonna figure this one out.
Okay.
So what I'd love to do, instead of reading the entire riddle, we can do whatever you want to, sir. But instead of reading the entire riddle, go line by line and see when you get it.
Okay.
Because I'm curious. I really think you're gonna get it. I'm just curious when you'll get it. Is that fair?
That's fair. That's
and,
fair.
And, here, and here's the deal. If you get wrong on any of these guesses, we won't count these against your three. Okay.
I like it.
I think that'll be unfair. So when you're ready, I will go line by line. I'll read a line, ask you what you think, and see how quickly you get it. I really think
okay,
you're
gonna get let's
it.
Do it.
Okay, here we go. I made Hendrix cry, sent the Everly Brothers a message, and made Tina proud.
Okay. Keep going.
I love Detroit baseball, LSU football, and especially dudes named Tony.
You get an Eddie Murphy in here.
No. Wow, this may be harder than I thought. No. Nope. Okay,
keep going.
Okay. I'm not a smooth ride down the lane, but my fire and spice are well worth it. This may be better if I read all together. I'm curious.
That's all right. Right. That's right. Keep going. Yeah.
Okay. No. Don't call me a flash in the pan. I'm going all the way to Broadway. I'm surprised we got this far. I thought for sure you'd get this.
All right, read. Okay. Yeah, read it all.
I'm going to read it all together. And now we'll go to typical rules. Three guesses, okay. three questions.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to read it all together. I made Hendrix cry, sent the Everly Brothers a message, and made Tina proud. I love Detroit baseball, LSU football, and especially dudes named Tony. I'm not a smooth ride down the lane, but my fire and spice are well worth it. Don't call me a flash in the pan. I'm going all the way to Broadway.
Something to do with New York. So that's the Broadway. Now the beginning part with the Tina made Tina cry.
Nope. I made Hendrix cry.
Hendrix cry. Okay, so.
Sent the Everly Brothers a message and made Tina proud.
So you got some Proud Mary in there. You got,
dude, I can tell it's right. You're so close. I think this one neuron's got a fire. You got it. And I'm helping. I'm gonna stop.
It's okay. It's all right. Oh man. Oh,
you want to guess or you want to ask a question?
Is this a real person?
No, it is a character. Add to it, character that has been played by has had multiple incarnations, both in comics, animated movies, live action movies, and cartoon series.
Is Spider-Man?
You got to do a little better than that. You're close. Think about, okay, I'll read it again. I made Hendrix cry, sent the Everly Brothers a message, and made Tina proud. I love Detroit baseball, LSU football, and especially dudes named Tony. I'm not a smooth ride down the lane, but my fire and spice are well worth it. Don't call me a flash in the pan. I'm going all the way to Broadway.
Huh.
You're in the universe. I will say that you're right in the universe. One of these, you actually played with this one a little bit a few weeks ago.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Well, now I'm thinking like Wesley Snipes, but it's not a real person. So
No. You were good. No, Spider-Man universe. You were right there.
Okay. Venom?
No, that's guess. Is that guess one or guess two?
That's guess two.
Okay.
Okay. J. Jonah Jameson.
Wrong. Okay. So before I give it to you, we're going to go back to some of the hints here.
Okay.
So first line, the first part. I made Hendrix cry, sent the Everly Brothers a message, and made Tina proud. So you got it on Tina proud. So
Proud Mary.
What song made Tina proud?
Proud Mary.
Okay. I love Detroit baseball. What's the baseball team from Detroit?
The Lions.
No, that's a football team.
Oh, Detroit Tigers.
So, and LSU football is the LSU Tigers, and dude's name Tony, I mean Tony the
Tiger.
I'm not a smooth ride down the lane, but my fire and spice. So what color do we think about when we talk about fire?
Well, red.
Okay. Don't call me a flash in the pan. I'm going all the way to Broadway. So you think about this. Okay. The name Mary.
Okay. Mary.
Going to Broadway. Okay. So what type of people go to Broadway? What's their occupation? What are game show hosts now?
Yeah, they're rich. They're going to Broadway.
But people who perform on Broadway, right?
Actors.
Okay. So actor, proud, Mary, Flash, as in Flash Thompson, likes things named or nicknamed Tiger.
Oh, Mary Jane Watson, MJ. Wow. Very good. Very, very, very good. I dig it. Very good. I'm impressed. I like it.
I thought for sure you were going to get it. I was like, this is too easy. This is too easy. By the way, I do have one we can put up on our Facebook page. I'll send it to you tomorrow. But I've
awesome. And well, we can say it at the end of the show just so it can be on the air too. So, all right. No, for mine, mine's a little bit different. Wanted to pitch a new Batman 70, right? Okay. So after the old Batman, the bat pow slap, mm-hmm. you know. So
yeah,
go
yeah.
back to the campy. I want to bring that show back in today's CW world.
All right.
So and then I wanted to go over. Like I have some pitches for who I think would play who, and then I want your input as well.
Okay. Right?
So obviously we got to start off with Batman, right? So Batman.
Sure. Yep.
My pick for Batman to bring back the Adam West Batman mm-hmm. is Adam Driver.
Nice.
There's something about him. I think that he could pull that off so amazing.
Okay.
Okay, so now we're going to talk a little bit about Alfred, right? So to bring back this Alfred, I'm thinking Peter Capaldi. He was the doctor, the old Doctor Who.
Okay.
Yep. I think he'd bring some good flair to,
sure.
to Alfred.
Okay.
And now at this point, Robin is definitely not Dick Grayson. So at this time, Dick Grayson is actually Nightwing. And I wanted to start picking some people that were already in the CW shows and whatnot. And so Jared Padalecki from Supernatural.
He's going to be Nightwing?
He would be my Nightwing.
Okay. All right.
And then, yeah, then I'm going to bring in Jason Todd, the second Robin. Sure. And, I'm gonna who becomes Red Hood, right? Well, that's obviously going to be Jensen Ackles.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd do that. Okay.
Right, right. You got to. You got to.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then Tim Drake, my pick for him. I want to make these a little bit different. So KP Apa, who is Archie from Riverdale.
Okay.
And he's done some other stuff. He's got some good acting chops as well. And then I started thinking about the villains, right? Some of the villains that they got in here. So Joker, I wanted to find somebody who's known to have a mustache.
Okay.
Right. Because you got to have the white paint covering the mustache, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking Pedro Pascal.
Mandalorian. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. Bring the Mandalorian. He's the Joker. And then
Riddler. I like that because honestly, if you, his stint in Game of Thrones, this almost had that madcap, like I'm just riding the edge. So I can see that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So now Riddler, one of my favorite actors right now. I think this guy can do about anything. I think he'd do a really cool Riddler. And Reggie Jean Page.
Help me with that.
He's from Bridgerton, and he was in one of the mains in Bridgerton, and he's
okay.
A bunch of, dude is one of the best actors working right now.
Okay.
So amazing. Now Catwoman. So I needed a Catwoman that's gonna have good chemistry with Batman. So I went to Daisy Ridley.
Sure.
You know, it was an obvious choice. Now, Batgirl. I was trying to think of a good, got to have the red hair, you know. So I started thinking.
Now, she, because there are incarnations where it's a wig. So.
Well, yeah, okay. That's true. That is true. That is very true. Belle Thorne.
Yes. That may be my favorite pick you've done so far, because I could totally see that.
Right?
Yeah.
But this next one might be.
But I would want, if I can give a quick note, I would want Belle Thorne. As Bella Thorne, actually, is that Rebecca? Because a lot of time when she in the role she plays, she's cast as a very sweet girl. Mm-hmm. But if you see any, you know, I'm not a tabloid follower, but if you see anything on social media, she's got definitely a wild streak to her.
Yeah.
So I think having her have that will work out very well. So I have, as you're talking, I also have two people that I would love to add if you don't mention them. But please continue.
One of the best villains in the old Batman series is King Tut.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, there's one person that you could have. And that's Jack Black.
Just see him with the horrible beard.
Right.
And, you know, got a little appropriation there, but okay. All right. Jack Black is King Tut.
And then I started Clayface. We haven't had a good Clayface. And so I was thinking Daniel Gillies. He was from the show Originals. He's good looking dude. Got to have that good acting, the 1950s vibe.
Yep.
Now, Two-Face. I was starting to think about Two-Face. So for Two-Face, I'm thinking Colton Haynes, who was Arsenal in Arrow.
Okay.
Such a great actor. Now. Then my final casting, and then we can discuss if I'm missing anybody. Commissioner Gordon, right? We got to have the red bat phone and everything. Commissioner Gordon, Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes, broken down, bitter. Because here's the deal. I also think with the 70s, because if you really go, you know, from the 60s to the 70s, while the 60s had, kind of mentioned earlier with the Wonder Years, the 60s had, even though with all the turmoil, it also had a great deal of hope because the Civil Rights Amendment, all these things happened. Yeah. By the time you get to the 70s, because the 70s, you have a lot of fatigue from Vietnam and all these other things, that kind of an economic crisis, you could totally see just, again, a resentful Commissioner Gordon. Like, yeah, I gotta depend, like, especially if it's a straight up running through from the 60s forward, like now he's just like figurehead. You know, mm-hmm. like your job is to call Batman or to pull the switch on the bat signal. You know, we know who's really doing it, right? So absolutely. And Kiefer could play that broken, bitter.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, I think that's a great piece of casting. Absolutely.
So who do you think you could do? Who do you think would be better in some of these roles?
So I have two characters I would add.
Okay.
And one plot piece I would add. So
okay.
Here's the two characters. So you didn't mention Penguin. And Penguin would have to be Steve Carell. I think
absolutely.
Steve Carell.
Yeah.
And then Poison Ivy, who after Catwoman, Poison Ivy is probably my favorite female character.
Mm-hmm.
And I will pull, if you've ever seen the show Modern Family,
yeah.
I would totally use Ariel Winter. And the reason that we plays the middle daughter, primarily because of this, and again, this is where reality kind of would come into mm-hmm. it, is Ariel Winter on Modern Family plays a very bookish, shy, nerdy, stereotypical person. In her real life, she's much more, she's probably more akin to the character played by Sarah Hyland, her older sister. Just she's a typical person in her 20s, a woman in her 20s is living her life. I could see if you almost took her as Alex Dumphy before the accident, the experiment that gives her mm-hmm. powers as Poison Ivy, and then she leads with her sexuality. I think Ariel Winter could really do those sorts of things. And then here is the thought process I had as we're talking about the transition from the 60s to the 70s. So in the 70s, the country had, I mean, not that this has become rare for our country, unfortunately, but the country had a major economic downturn. So how interesting would it be, while Commissioner Gordon has become bitter and disillusioned with his relationship to Batman, what if Bruce Wayne went broke?
Interesting.
Could you imagine that? That he's trying, that he's having to really, he and Alfred and the Robins, Nightwings of the group are really having to almost a Don Quixote type thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're having to keep the Batmobile running with duct tape and chewing gum. You know, because he doesn't have all the gadgets, he's also getting a little older. You know, he's not winning fights as easier. You know, kids are, you know, maybe he's still really popular with the mid 20 to the 30 year olds who remember him from their childhood. But the younger kids, they're wanting almost an aspect of Kingdom Come. They're wanting a more violent vigilante. You know, they're wanting if you were to bring in Red Hood. Somehow in this process, Red Hood would be way more popular than Batman would be in the 70s, you know.
I
think that would just be excellent. But no, casting, I just was thinking you gotta have Penguin and Poison Ivy, and those would be my two. And I think the idea of having Batman, having Bruce Wayne go broke and still being Batman would just bring a lot of very interesting, because you think about it, he would have ignored Wayne Industries. Mm-hmm. You know, Wayne Industries, they're always kind of fuzzy on what Wayne Industries does. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you have the recession, it really takes the company down with it. Alfred's working for free, all these sorts of things. I think it would just be great.
Awesome. Yeah, man, I think CW should definitely do something like that. Bring back, you guys, it's a way to put out a Batman TV show. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And my favorite Batman is Adam West.
Okay.
I love the Adam West Batman.
Sure.
There's just something about that campy that is just amazing. Now, saying Adam West is my favorite Batman is like saying, like, what's your favorite kid, right? You know,
sure.
All of the Batmans are awesome.
Sure. But and here's the deal, because we talk about it like, and because Adams West, I mean, because now in today's world, you saw it with Affleck, you're going to see it with Pattinson, is that they're going, they really, once you had Michael Keaton, you know, returning to Batman to his darker roots,
mm-hmm.
barring Clooney. You know, Batman's always been portrayed as a really dark character. He is number one.
Yeah.
But I think but Adam West, that campiness, you know, Adam West is probably number two and number three for me, just because mm-hmm. I love Christian Bale. But Adam West's campiness was authentic. It's like Shatner. Shatner overacts as Kirk. I'm saying as Captain Kirk all the time. Anyone else, that would just seem obnoxious because he authentically is that person. You know, Captain Kirk is probably just William Shatner in the future, right? You know, if you watch Family Guy, Adam West's campiness is in everything that he does, right? Mm-hmm. So I just think, so he's the only one that could have played that role. So if you're going to expand that out, you again, I don't think it's dishonoring the Batman tradition or the mythos as much as it's just like, this is just another aspect to the character. Not to mention, it'll still be cooler than watching poor Tobey Maguire dancing down the street as Venom. That was just horrible. I mean, okay, remember I was talking about the times I walked out of movies just disappointed? At that point, I'm like, yeah, we can go now. We didn't, but we can go now.
All right.
I love the fact when she does that, she does it like waiting for a reaction. Like,
I know. All right, why don't you go upstairs, say goodnight to Brian, and then I'll be up the stairs in a few minutes. We're just wrapping up.
Good night.
Good night, Leia.
All right, baby girl. I'll see you in a few minutes. Love you.
I love you too, big baby boy.
I'm big baby boy. All right, baby girl. All right. I would so be down with an updated campy Batman. So I know. I found it downstairs. All right, Brian, anything else we need to talk? Actually, there is one thing we need to go over yet. I need to check the Facebook post that I put out. And let's see who. All right, just my mom. Mom, I love you.
That's awesome.
And she didn't put any shows, but she likes a lot of stuff.
Did you put it on the Fandemic page or where'd you put it?
I think I put it on the Fandemic and I put it on my own. So,
okay, hang on. All right, where was your favorite show? I love your mom. I do. Looking for that is that's beautiful.
Yep.
I mean, seriously, that is outstanding and righteous, man. I'll throw a couple on that post for you, but yeah. So with that being said. It was just really super cool to do. And again, I'm those are my top five. Again, if top five, again, I love the fact that we had two of them because again, it just been a little much to throw on with the Marvel Universe. The only thing that would have made the list better is had we been able to somehow fit in a Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, well, he made an appearance.
There you go.
I can't believe that. He was there. Our streak continues to be unbroken. Yeah, but don't come at me, you listeners. Yeah, I know. I thought of course it had to be authentic. All right. Anyway, hey, it's almost Christmas, so give it to me.
That's right.
Yeah. No. But no, that's fantastic. So as always, this is our best part of my week. Thanks for leveling up. You're awesome with us. You can always find me on Facebook at Brian Stephen Dennis. Feel free to follow, friend, like my comments, have a lot of fun. And just, again, we nerd out together, sir.
Awesome. And you can tweet at me at Fandemic3 or message me on Facebook at The Fandemic. You can also support the show at Patreon. Under patreon.com/fandemic, make sure you note that you're coming, that you're found us through PVOTN, or you can go straight to anchor.fm/PVOTN and you can help us out that way. If you would be so kind as to share the awesomeness, go ahead, share the show, tell people about the show. The more people that listen, the more fun it's going to be. We're really trying to make it, to make it a little more interactive with people. So if you have ideas, let me know, let Brian know. We'll take everything we can. So Brian, let's go ahead and close this out, buddy. Anything else you want to say?
As always, thanks for coming in. We'll see you next week. And Bradley, please give us our closing.
Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesomeness. Live free or die empty. Have a great day.
What?